The second reading is found in the New Testament book of Hebrews chapter 2. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. Certainly it was fitting for God, the one for whom and through whom everything exists, in leading many sons to glory, to bring the author of their salvation to his goal through sufferings. For he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified all have one Father. For that reason he is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers within the congregation. I will sing your praise. And again, I will trust in him. And again, here I am and the children God has given me. Therefore, since the children share flesh and blood, he also shared the same flesh and blood so that through death he could destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. For surely he was not concerned with helping angels, but with helping Abraham's offspring. For this reason, he had to become like his brothers in every way, in order that he would be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, so that he could pay for the sins of the people. Indeed, because he suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The word of the Lord. Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. A child is born. And at the beginning, all babies in their own way look alike. You might look at a newborn child and go, oh, he looks like his mom, she looks like her dad. But really early on, all babies kind of look alike. They're cute and chubby and pudgy and, you know, they're babies. They all have that look about them, you know, the chubber cheeks and the pudgy baby fat. But then that starts to give way over time as they start to roll, as they start to move, as they start to crawl, as they start to stand and walk and run. As a child gets older, pretty soon that pudgy baby fat, those chubber cheeks, they give way to leaner features. They give way to a more defined facial face. They give way to clearer physical features. And then you might say, well, she has her mother's eyes. She has his father's nose. She looks like her grandmother. He looks like you. Now this weekend, we have been celebrating the birth of a child. A poor infant come into our world. Now Joseph, in that moment, he had to play father, midwife, and maternity nurse all at the same time with no experience in any of those areas. But the delivery went well in spite of the circumstances. Birthing a child on the unclean floor of a stable is not where any mother would like to give birth to her child, but everything worked out. That's all they could find in that moment. Now as Mary rested from delivering her firstborn son, Joseph looked over his adopted son. 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 beautiful eyes, 1 nose, 1 hungry mouth letting out a loud cry, and Joseph swaddled up the little guy again in the soft homemade cloths and placed him in the arms of his mother to nurse once again while he went over and got the feeding trough ready, maybe putting down some fresh hay, maybe putting down a blanket or two, getting it ready because later on Mary would lovingly place that child in that feeding trough as its first crib. Yet all they could do in that moment was to stare and wonder, is this the Son of God? Are we looking at God himself? He's so small and weak and helpless. I think I expected more here. He looks even a little like you. He looks like any other baby. But he is the Son of God. Now, in time, those chubby cheeks and the pudgy baby fat gave way to more defined features and leaner muscles as the little guy began to roll and to crawl and to stand and to walk and to run. Like any other boy, there were bumps and bruises and scrapes along the way, but Jesus was different than his friends. He was different than his cousins. He was different than his siblings. It was clear he looked like his mother, and really like any other kid running around in the streets of Nazareth. But every once in a while, Mary and Joseph would find themselves staring in wonder as they had in Bethlehem. Could he really be the Son of God? Is that really God himself out there playing with his friends? He looks like any other kid. He even looks like you, Mary. But he is God. He's our God. Now, there's good reason to believe that the Lord blessed Mary and Joseph with other children after Jesus, and they too came into this world in the natural way. They looked like any other cute, pudgy little baby. Over time, they grew up. You could tell who had her mother's eyes and who had dad's hands. Like any other parent, Mary and Joseph could look on their kids with pride and joy. But there was always a little tinge of sadness. You see, as a parent, you might feel a little pride in seeing something, a son or daughter that looks like you or comes from you, whether that's some expression or physical feature or it's the way they walk or talk or act. And it's very much like you. You're proud because that's your child. That's your gift from God. Yet for parents, there's always a tinge of sadness. Perhaps you have a physical feature you don't appreciate, and you see it in your child. You have a personality trait that you're not proud of, and then it goes on full display when they reflect it back to you like a mirror. The child gets older and starts acting and talking like you. The child glares like his father, criticizes like her mother. You see mimicked in your child the selfish way you speak or the loveless way you act or hurtful choices you may make. And while you're proud of the positive ways you see yourself in your child, you're saddened to see your own sinful ways in them too. It reminds you that your sin has been passed on to them too. When Mary and Joseph looked at their children, they saw what made them proud, but they also saw their own likeness, their own sins, their own failings, all reflected back to them. But of course, it was different with Jesus. When they looked at Jesus, they were proud, but there was that sadness too. But it was a different kind of sadness. You see, even as the memory lingered of the angel telling Mary that she was going to give birth to the Son of God, they could never forget why the Lord God had commanded Joseph to name him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. They knew the price God demanded for sin. They knew it would cost the life of God's beloved Son, which meant that it would cost the life of their son too. The darkness of death would come someday to their beloved child so he could save them and so he could save all people from their sins. When they looked at Jesus, yes, they saw their son, but they also saw their God and Savior. Now, as you stand beside the manger and who do you expect to see? Do you expect to see a cherubic little child with beams of light radiating out of his head, kind of like you see in countless creches? That's not a knock on our creche, it's a nice creche. Or maybe do you expect to see a holy judge peering into your soul and deciding where you're going to spend eternity? Or maybe you don't have any expectations at all, because to you, God is faceless. He's distant. He's out of touch because he's out of touch with knowing what's going on in your life right now. Or do you expect to see in that feeding trough the greatest wonder of all, the miracle of miracles, a baby swaddled warmly in cloths and sleeping peacefully in a manger. I hope that last one is what you expect to see, because that's what you're going to find. Therefore, since the children share flesh and blood, he also shared the same flesh and blood. Peer into that manger and see there that child who looks like you. Count his fingers, count his toes. See the nose on his face, his two eyes, two beautiful eyes. See one mouth, two ears, a belly button. Yes, Jesus had a belly button too. A human being just like you. In fact, he looks so much like any other human being, it would be easy to mistake that he's just like any other baby ever born. Yet the writer of the Hebrews explains to us, what child is this? Therefore, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared the same flesh and blood, so that through death he could destroy the one who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. Now that's no ordinary human being that you see sleeping there, yet he's just as human as you are. He's just like you, yet without sin. He had to be just like you if he was going to save his people from their sins. Peer into that manger and see the face of God. Yes, you see a cute, chubby little face, but you also see a conqueror, a deliverer, a helper. You see why God became a human being, and that fills you with joy, and it fills you with a little sadness. There's sadness because as Mary and Joseph knew all too well, this child is going to grow up, and this child is going to suffer. This child is not only going to grow up in a sinful world, but he is going to suffer hell. He is going to be pierced by nails. He's going to die on a cross. He's going to face the deep darkness of death. Yet at the same time, there's great joy, because this child shares in your flesh and blood, so that through death he could destroy the one who had the power of death, that the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. You know, there's so much to fear in this world. A pandemic that never seems to end. A country tearing itself apart. Violent people attacking the innocent. Hatred and corruption and crime and immorality. But even for the most fearless, there's something that brings fear in those unguarded moments in the middle of the night. Death. Now, you might not be afraid to die, but death is a terrifying, unnatural, unknown thing for us. It was never meant for human beings, but it is a reality for each and every one of us because of sin. And because we all sin, we all die. We all die because of our sin. We die for our sin. The wages of sin is death. But then look again at that newborn child lying in the manger, or look at the little boy playing with his friends in the streets, or the teen going to school, or the adult walking up and down the dusty roads of Israel, and see there the answer to your fear. See there the answer to your death. In Jesus, there is no reason to fear. There's no reason whatsoever to be afraid. Is it any wonder why Jesus would always tell his disciples when he would approach them unexpectedly, or when he appeared to them after he rose from the dead, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Do not fear. Why would Jesus say that? Because Jesus had come. He is the answer to fear. He is the answer to death. He was going to suffer death on the cross, but he was also going to rise again from the tomb. He was going to rise from the dead. And when Jesus did that, when he conquered death for us, he grabbed those chains of fear, the fear of death, wrapped around your heart, and he burst them. He shattered them forever. What's left to fear when Jesus destroys the power of death? What's left to fear when Jesus destroys what makes us afraid the most, making death no more than a harmless sleep? Peer into the manger and see a Savior who looks like you no matter what you look like. See a real human being who suffered through every temptation, who's been where you've been, who knows what it's like to be in your shoes, who understands your weaknesses, but then also see the very real God who never gave in to temptation. The very real God who turned away God's wrath forever, who perfectly carried out his Father's holy will, who paid the full payment for what fills you with fear in the middle of the night. For surely he was not concerned with helping angels, but he was concerned with helping Abraham's offspring. Jesus didn't come to help out the holy. He came to rescue sinners. He came to help and save you. Peer into that manger and see your brother. See the one who goes before to the throne of the Heavenly Father and intercedes for you, the one who serves as your holy divine go-between. See him grow up and face temptation after temptation until that dark day when he willingly bears a cross for you. Sin and Satan and the world roared and raved that day because they thought they had the victory. But then see your brother burst forth from the tomb, very much alive on Easter morning. See Satan and death weep and wail because they've lost their power over you. And then see your brother walk by your side, never leaving your side, day after day, all your life. See your brother help you and hold you up when you are weak, when you stumble and fall. See your brother help you when temptation attacks. And when you do fail, when you do fall into sin, see your brother pick you up and clean you off with his forgiveness. Forgiveness earned by enduring the death you deserve. Indeed, because he suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help you when you are being tempted. See your brother open the way to heaven for you when it's time to come home. See your brother come and bring you safely home. See your brother sit on the throne of God himself, sit on the throne of God and guide all things for your eternal good. See your brother come again in glory. Yes, to judge all the living and all the dead, but see your brother come in glory to bring you to be with him in heaven forever, body and soul. For he will come and raise you to eternal life. Could that child in the manger really be the Son of God? Could that boy playing in the streets of Nazareth really be the Holy One of Israel? Could the child toddling around on the dirt floor of his home really be the God himself, be the Savior of the world? Could that boy running off to school with his friends really be our brother? He looks so much like you. He looks so much like me. Could that adult enduring hunger and thirst, loneliness and weariness, pain and everything else that comes in this world, everything that this world throws at you, could he really be truly God and truly human? Could that man be your brother and your Savior? Yes. That child, that boy, that adult is your God. And one day you will see him face to face with your own eyes. You will see that he is, and he always will be, your hero, your helper, your savior, your deliverer, your brother, and your God. Amen.